Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer Podcast. This is Ralph Phillips.
And I'm Molly Bay. So we've got the Giants coming up. We've had some news this week. We got rid of Chandler Catanzaro. No surprise there.
Nah.
And signed Kairos Santos.
Right.
He played for Kansas City, Chicago, and New York. He's been plagued by a groin injury.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, that started in Kansas City, and then it's kind of been recurring. So he was actually on IR in 2017 with the Jets.
Wow. We're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
He visited the Bucs last year, and he said that this was his top choice.
Let me ask you this. We've had a string of kickers come in here over the past several years, ever since we got rid of Matt Bryant, really. What is the problem? My theory is, and this is just a theory, it's got to be anger, the punter. He does the placeholding, and he has for every kicker that's come in, and they just suck.
You think so?
Well, that's the only common denominator.
Wow.
You know, I don't understand why we don't have James Winston or somebody, a ball handler, doing the place kick holding.
Don't you think that would have occurred to them by now, though, to change that variable?
Well, I don't know, man. It seems obvious to me that, I mean, if you've got this many kickers coming in and they all keep performing badly, it's got to be something other than the kickers. There's not a whole lot you can try.
I don't think Connor Barth did that bad.
No, Connor Barth did good.
I don't understand why we got rid of him.
I don't either.
Wasn't that Lovey?
I don't understand why we got rid of Matt Bryant. I don't understand why you get rid of any kicker that performs well.
Yeah.
But teams do it all the time. I mean, look at Janikowski. You know, I mean, he's playing for, Seattle now, and he's kicking well. He was never kicking bad.
Vinatieri. He's still in the league, right?
Oh, it's like Dallas getting rid of Bailey. Why would you do that? Consistent, good kicker?
Right.
And you're going to get rid of him? I don't understand.
And what's the difference between, like, premium kicker money and mediocre kicker money? Like, not that much. It's nominal.
Yeah. I mean, it's nominal. Maybe $1 million, $2 million right. a year.
But when your salary cap, I don't even know what the salary cap is anymore, $150 million?
Somewhere up in there. I think it goes up $10 million every year now or
right.
something.
So that's not even...
No,
2% of your salary.
It's lower
cap.
Than the rate of inflation for NFL salary cap. I don't know. People just have a weird thing with kickers, man. It's the teams do. I guess they just don't want to pay them a certain amount. And they're like, once they hit that $3 million a year cutoff or whatever it is, they're like, oh, you're gone.
And they can play forever.
Right.
Like, look
yeah.
at Matt Bryant. He's like 43. There's another one. I think that's
120.
Older. Right.
He's out
and
there
drunk every time he's on the field.
That's Janikowski.
Oh, Janikowski. Yeah, you're right. You're right. All these old ass kickers.
He's on the sideline eating pizza, smoking a cigarette, chugging a
beer.
He's got
a flask in his pants.
He takes a swig on the field right before he kicks. They can do that.
Yeah.
You know, I've always said I would like my son to be a kicker because, gosh, man, that's a lot of money to do a little bit of work.
How often are you really on the field? And you make like maybe 3 tackles a year, which really nobody wants you to do that. But
yeah,
every
right.
now and then
I'd fake
you
it.
Have
I'd like
to.
I'd like run over towards a tackle and then like pull up my hamstring or something. Be like, oh, I hurt myself.
But you know how humiliating it must be to get tackled by the kicker.
Molly loves to say that when she sees a guy get tackled by the kicker or the running back. She's like, oh, yeah. he's going to get ragged on in the locker room.
And then a close third is when the quarterback tackles you. Like if you're getting picked off, like we just watched the Giants-Redskins game and Alex Smith got intercepted or I don't know, the Redskins turned the ball over and then Alex Smith ran like 30 yards and tackled the linebacker. Like really, linebacker, you can't outrun a quarterback or out muscle him even.
Yeah, really, just stare him down. He probably fall.
Just bowl him over something. It's embarrassing. So anyway, new kicker. We'll see how that goes. He said he's been watching the Bucs for the last few weeks, specifically.
But we brought him in a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but we kept Chandler. And then, so he started watching Garrison Sanborn. I didn't even know who this, I had to look him up on the depth chart. He's our long snapper, Garrison Sanborn. How bad is that?
That's horrible.
That we didn't know that. Did you know it?
Yeah.
No, you didn't. Bullshit. And so he's been watching Garrison and Brian for a couple weeks to see how they work. I guess he saw the writing on the wall with Chandler.
Man. Well, you know, that's going to be interesting to watch. Nobody's going to go get a beer when the kicker's on the field, that's for sure.
Yeah. Ooh, it's been so ugly. So ugly. But this groin injury, he said he's been healthy since August.
August of this year?
Yeah. So okay. Hopefully that'll...
Was it a groin or hamstring?
Groin.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see. He's a short little guy. He's only 5'8".
You know what? You just made everybody out there that's under 5'8 mad.
Well, like, I'm an average woman. I'm 5'4". It's perfectly average. So, tiny little guys. I don't know.
Now you're calling them tiny little guys.
Wow. Well, for a football player, too.
Okay, there you go. Throw that in there.
All right. For a football player. He's small. Anyway, moving on. They had player interviews, as they always do. DeMar Dotson, in particular, had a locker room injury where he was asked whether the team has quit. And he says that he's been on teams where guys have just phoned it in, which obviously we've seen. But he's been here since when? 2009?
You're right. 2010. Yeah, he was on that 2011 team.
So, and we've had a few teams that I think have just phoned it in. So he says he hasn't seen it.
Wait,
on this team this year.
Wait, he said he's been on teams where guys phone it in?
Yeah.
He's only played for the Buccaneers.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
So he's seen a team quit before.
Yeah. Well, 2011,
several times.
Quit.
And he said teams, like plural.
Wow.
So it was more than one. So, but he said he hasn't seen signs of it on this team. Whether he would actually say.
Right. You know they're not going to say.
I don't know. Right. Exactly. Last week was kind of like, oh, God.
Which
he's definitely quitting.
That gets me to a point I want to bring up. Me and Molly are big into the media, and I want to know why the media in Tampa Bay, I'm not sure how it is on the rest of the league, but in Tampa Bay, we do not have journalists. What we have is we have people that go and they go to the press conferences, they ask questions, they go into the locker room during media days, and then they just regurgitate what's being said. And then they give speculation and hypothesis, you know, theories about what they think is going on. Why don't we have a media that goes out and does investigative reporting? Because one thing that really bothers me is that in that 2011 team, everything fell apart. You know, Josh Freeman was going through some stuff, obviously. You know, we found out in 2012, 2013. We still don't know what happened. We don't know what happened with that 2011 team. We had, I'm going to explain this to people that aren't familiar with it. We had like Garrett Blunt, Aqib Talib, Michael Bennett. We had Donald Penn, Jeremy Zuda, Rondé Barber, Mason Foster, Adrian Claiborne. I mean, we had a monster team and it fell apart. And we still, to this day, do not know why. We know that we were going to Chicago. We went to London to play Chicago and we were looking good. We had been killing it at the beginning of the year. We go to Chicago and just fell apart and the rest of the season was, the team just quit. And the rumors, as we always get rumors, was that something happened on the flight over there between the team and the coaching staff and everybody blew up and then the team just divided and quit after that. But why don't we have inside information? You look at politics. Okay, you've got the White House press pool. Those guys go there. They regurgitate what's being said. But then you have the Washington Post, the New York Times. You've got the Washington Times. You've got the Daily Caller, Breitbart. You've got all these organizations that have journalists that go and they get sources. They talk to insiders. They get anonymous sources. They talk to relatives. Why don't we have people that go and do that? Josh Freeman apparently was doing all kinds of drugs and hanging out at strip clubs. We know Aqib Talib and LeGarrette Blunt were. They were posting crap up on Instagram. And we got Josh Freeman out there doing all this stuff. Supposedly, you hear about the rumors. But why don't we have anybody that's following these guys around and getting inside information? I mean, Tampa's not that big of a town.
Mm-mm.
And, I mean, you could get sources from the managers. We know Josh Freeman's managers were putting out all kinds of crap during the Hoshiano era. And, of course, the media in Tampa was just reporting what the managers were saying and not reporting the other side of the story. You've got off-the-record players. Why aren't they getting any off-the-record stuff from players in the locker room? None at all. Friends, family. I mean, look at Miko Grimes. There is no way you could not get information from Miko Grimes.
She can't keep her mouth shut on social media.
I know. Why don't these reporters go and talk to her and say, what is going on with this team? And get the information from her.
People like that want a platform.
Yes. It is so easy to get people to talk. I know this because I was doing a magazine at one point, and you would be surprised. You just go up to people and you say, hey, I'm with this magazine. Would you like to talk? People would spill their guts. It's not hard at all. People love to talk. It's not hard to get this information. Why aren't we finding out this information? I know that the media down in Tampa that cover the team, they're worried about access. I was listening to a podcast on Joe Buck's Fan, and he was talking about how, and I didn't know this, after every game, Cutter comes up with a little video on, it's like an inspirational video, and he picks out the best play of the game or who he thinks did good during the game, and he makes a little speech with the video, and then he puts the video on everybody's computers and their iPads, so every time they go to study film or whatever, they have to go through that video first. I didn't know that, but the reason why we don't know it is because one of the Joes from Joe Buck Fan posted this information, and the Bucks organization said, hey, don't do that anymore. That's inside information. So he stopped, you know, so he couldn't do it because he would get lose his access to the Bucks. I can understand them, you know, doing that. But there's also the whole, you know, hire some people that don't have to worry about getting access to the Bucks. You know, hire some guy, get some guy. Why don't we have this information? I just don't understand it. You know, and the media just basically regurgitates what the PR is from the players and the coaches and the front office.
So then let me ask you, is it possible that the organization is using access as leverage?
Yes, definitely.
Well, then that's an issue.
Basically, the media that's covering the Buccaneers are just an extension of the PR of One Buck Place. Take, for example, a couple years ago, Scott Reynolds from Pewter Report wrote a story, and it was negative towards Gerald McCoy. Not real bad, but it was basically, you know, hey, step up and do something. Gerald McCoy called him on his cell phone and made him rewrite the article. And Scott Reynolds put out an apology. Now, if anybody saw the Fab Five that they put out Friday, Scott Reynolds laid into everybody. And so we'll see how that plays out with them getting access this weekend. Now, Scott Reynolds has called for the firing of Lovie Smith. He called for the firing of Schiano. I can't remember if he called for the firing of Raheem, but everybody knew that needed to happen. Mm-hmm. And One Buck Place has kind of went along with that. And you have to ask yourself, which came first? I mean, is One Buck Place saying, hey, put this out, ask for the firing, so when we do it, so that way maybe they're preparing the fans for the firing or something. I mean, I don't really think that's what happens, but it just seems like the media down there is just an extension of the PR of One Buck Place.
And they're kind of an echo chamber, too. Yeah. They all say the same thing, and they all jump on board firing people every single time without question. There's never anyone that's like, hey, guys, slow down. Maybe this isn't the answer.
Right, and it's like with Gerald McCoy. In 2012, they decided, One Buck Place, the ownership, decided that Gerald McCoy was going to be the face of the franchise. Now, he was injured the first couple years that he played. He really hadn't done anything. They brought Schiano in. They were trying to remake the franchise. They put Gerald McCoy as the leader. And at this point, he hadn't really done a whole lot. But he's good for PR. The guy is really, really good at being in front of a camera or talking to people. And they gave media all the access they wanted to him. And so the media down there has done nothing but lifted Gerald McCoy up. They never criticize him. And they mock anybody that does. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? I mean, there are things to come down on Gerald McCoy about, but they won't do it. And you're starting to see them. It looks like everybody knows the writing on the wall. Gerald McCoy looks like he's probably not going to be here much longer. You know, we're not going to pick up his contract. I don't know. But the media down there seems to be shifting towards talking about Gerald McCoy not being here anymore. And is that a case of One Buck Place preparing the fans for him not being here anymore? Or is it, you know, the media themselves going, well, you know, we're speculating that he's not going to be here?
Or is it the One Buck using the media to kind of get leverage? So maybe they renegotiate his contract or...
Right, yeah, it's... Right, but we're not getting insider information like we should. But right. I want to know, why was McCoy not voted captain? Why? I mean, that's a big deal. I'm sorry. They should be talking to players' friends, families, whatever. What happened there? That's a big deal. You know, everybody was just like, eh, okay. McCoy says it doesn't bother him. And, you know, they speculate, oh, it's because it's a young defense and whatever. I don't know, but that's a big deal. That would be like Luke Kuechly on the Carolina Panthers not getting voted captain. I want to know why Noah Spence is not playing.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Nobody's looking into it. Why is he not playing?
Didn't somebody say that they knew, but they weren't going to put it out there right now?
Yeah.
That's not journalism. I mean, that's not
right. I don't care after the fact.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of want to know. I still want to know what happened with the 2011 team. I want somebody to write a book about that crap.
Yeah. Because that was just a meltdown of epic proportions.
Yeah, look at that team. Most of those players have gone on to win Super Bowls with other teams.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Adrian Claiborne might with the Patriots this year.
Right.
So, I mean, we had a world-class caliber team that just melted down, and nobody knows why. Or if they do, they haven't told anybody else. Why is Jameis not starting? Why don't we know that? We can't get any information out of One Buck Place, and as a response, we're not getting any information out of the media. There's something there. Is it personal between Cutter and Jameis? I mean, does Cutter... We all know Cutter was brought in, or we all speculate, that Cutter was brought in to develop Jameis. And because Jameis has failed in his development, does Cutter feel like, you know, it's a slap in his face and now he's just taking revenge on him? I don't know. Is it a decision by front office to say, hey, we don't want Jameis out there to get hurt because we have to pay him all his money and we're trying to get rid of him? I don't know. Guess what? Nobody else does. That's bad reporting. That's bad journalism. So media, get on your crap out there. We talk about the team all the time. We say, hey, this team ain't performing to its standards. Let's put the media to that same category too. You're not performing to your standards. We don't know crap about what's going on with this team. Mm-hmm. Nothing but a bunch of speculation. And me and Molly can sit here and do that. And guess what? We are. So.
And we live 13 hours away. Yeah. And, you know, watch the games on TV.
We can speculate just as well as anybody else. Why are y'all getting paid the big money?
Exactly. It's just absurd.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's a problem with everybody. I think this team problem, there's a culture problem. There's a culture with the team. There's a culture with One Buck Place. There's a culture with the media. And there's a culture with the fans. All those things need to be fixed before this team is ever going to have a chance.
So what's different now versus the 2002 team that won the Super Bowl?
Well, back then, we had a waiting list of like 17 years to get on for season's tickets with the Buccaneers.
And that was before they won the Super Bowl.
That was before they won the Super Bowl. But they were really kicking butt. Now, I'm not a big fan of only cheering for your team when they're winning. I don't like that. And it appears that's what a lot of those Tampa Bay fans were. They're fair weather fans. And you get that in most sports. You just get a big, when a team starts winning, you get a big influx of people. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the New England Patriots.
Right. That's what I was just thinking about.
Yeah. But when you look at the Green Bay Packers, you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, these people have built a fan base that has withstood bad, bad years. I mean, the Packers were horrible in the 80s, in the early 90s, until they got Brett Favre. They stunk. They were the joke of the league right there with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They still sold out their stadiums. Pittsburgh Steelers the same way. They've had a lot of bad years. Their fans stick with them. And their media holds people accountable. We don't. We don't. Our fans, as soon as we start doing bad, it's fire this person, fire that person, get rid of this person, get rid of that person. You know, we're not holding ourselves accountable saying, hey, man, you know, when our team starts losing, that's when they need us the most.
That's true. That's exactly it. You can't just kick them when they're down. They know they suck. Right. They all want to win. They're in a business to win.
Right.
That's their job.
And if the fans aren't out there supporting them, what do they have to fight harder for? You know, we need to give them that little bit more incentive. It was embarrassing watching the game on TV Sunday, not just for the performance that was on the field, but the stadium was half empty, and you could hear the chants of the Redskins fans just about the whole game. That's embarrassing.
And they don't have a huge fan base.
No.
I mean, we live in Redskins country. But their fan base is not that large. No. And they're miserable most of the time because the team sucked for so long.
So let's all take a little bit of blame for this, but let's also get on top of this media. I want to know what's going on. I want to know things. I can watch a press conference. I can get the same information that the media is giving me. I don't learn anything new from Joe Buck's fan or
Peter Report.
You know, I get the same information they do. They just have a platform to speculate.
And they're just there firsthand. They're there in person.
Yeah, they're there
in person. We're watching it on a video.
I mean, they go into the locker rooms after the game. They go into the locker rooms during media days. And they get to talk to these guys. And sometimes you get a little bit of trickle information. But I'm not getting any answers. I'm not getting any answers to any of the questions or any of the questions us fans out there have. So media, get on your job. All right, let's
move on. Do your job.
Do your job.
So, let's see. Kendall Beckwith, there's no news on whether he's ready to go yet.
That's another one right there. What is up with Kendall Beckwith? He got into an accident at the beginning of the year before the draft, and he's still not playing, and it's his ankle. I mean, what was it? Completely shattered? Guess what? We don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he was in a car accident. I know he had surgery on it, but what are they exactly waiting for?
I've seen guys break their arm on a field and come back quicker than this.
Yeah. I don't know. Dirk Cutter said they're hopeful and they have until Wednesday to activate him. So we'll see.
So is he playing Sunday?
No. Not that I'm aware.
I don't know. Who knows if he's going to be activated? You know why we don't know? Because we don't know what happened to him. All we know is what they told us.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I mean, he had to go through hospital. There are police reports.
Right.
We don't know any of that. What is the media doing? What is the purpose of the media covering the Buccaneers? If they're not giving us information on what's going on with the Buccaneers other than what One Buck Place is putting out, then
what's the point?
What do they serve? What purpose do they serve? I don't know, man. Get on your ball. Get on the ball, media. Let's do some investigative journalism down there.
Your performance is embarrassing. You guys suck.
And we wonder why the Buccaneers team puts out crappy products and our media can't even put out a decent product.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So Dirk is not playing calls or playing calls. Dirk is not calling plays this week. Todd Monken is. But what Todd Monken said was Dirk is the best offensive coach he's ever seen and the best play caller he's ever been around. And that's why he came to the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
So still speaking highly of Dirk. I guess you have to publicly. Yeah, what's he gonna say? Your boss.
Yeah. They're not going to go out there. Man, this guy sucks. I can't believe he benched me last week for no reason. He's a jerk. I'd love to hear that.
Right.
But we're not going to get that. We're just going to get talking points and polished statements and all that crap.
Ralph is on a tear today.
That just bothers me.
Okay, let's get in the Giants game because I don't really have a whole lot else news-wise. Everything else kind of ties into the game. So we'll start with the injury report. It's long, our injury report.
Yeah, this is depressing.
And that's kind of what you see when the team quits. Yes. Everyone starts getting injured. A lot of, you see like hamstring injuries or groin or what's the other one? There's no, you know, that you're like, come on, man, you can't play through that.
Yeah.
So Vinnie Curry's out. Levante David's out, but we talked about that in the last podcast. That's an MCL sprain. So
an MCL sprain is keeping Levante David out of a game. Oh, man, I don't even know what to say about that.
Isn't that kind of a big deal, though, your MCL? Don't you kind of need that?
But it's a sprain.
I know, but have you ever sprained a bone before or sprained a ligament before?
I dropped a barbell on my foot last night. My foot is killing me.
Well, are you going to go play football?
For a couple $1 million a game? Yes, I would.
Justin Evans. Okay, this one, he's got a toe injury, and he's out.
His toe.
I know.
JPP's out there playing with 3 fingers missing.
Yeah, on one hand. And actually, it's funny you say that. He was on the injury report, too, with a hand injury.
Oh, that's funny.
But he had a full participation yesterday, so he's a go. You know he's excited about this game.
Right, yeah.
So Rojo has a hammy, and he's out. And then questionable, we've got Chris Godwin with an ankle, Ryan Jensen with a hamstring, and Carl Nassib.
Well, can't have him gone.
But there was no, I don't know what was wrong with Carl. It wasn't on the injury report. It was weird. See, I looked at the injury report yesterday morning, Friday morning. So it was Thursday's injury report. And there were like 6 players on Friday's injury report that were not on the previous day's injury report. And it's really weird. They just popped up and then their injury statuses for the whole week were updated. It was weird.
That is weird.
I was like, did I screw something up or was it just not on there really? I don't know.
Huh.
It's a funky thing. But I went back and looked at news articles from earlier in the week and they were included. So maybe I just didn't see it. I don't know.
Well, I hope Nassib plays. And, you know, I've been saying, I call him Nassib.
Yeah.
It's Nassib. You're right.
I told you. It's okay.
Well, I still like calling him Nassib.
I know.
Don't know why. It just rolls off my tongue better.
Yeah.
Nassib.
And the Giants, they've got like 5 people on the injury report. All of them are fine. Nobody's injured.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're what, 2-8 or something?
They're 2-7.
2-7?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
And they got a full team plan.
Yeah. Exactly. We watched them. We watched a couple games with them. Their loss to the Redskins and then their win against San Francisco. They don't look that bad to me. They don't look as bad as their record shows. What did you think?
I think they're a very one-dimensional team. They've only got 2 players on offense, 3 if you include Eli, but that's that's debatable.
Okay, come on. Well, you know, everyone gives Eli a hard time, but the man's got 2 Super Bowls, so.
Yeah, and he's an Iron Man. A guy never gets hurt, ever. He's never missed a game out of injury.
And how old is he? He's got to be 38.
Don't even you dare say that's old. You just offended half our audience.
For a quarterback.
Not anymore. I mean, guys are playing into their 60s now. They will be.
Tom Brady.
Look at Fitzpatrick. How old is he? He's in his 30s.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Old man winner out there trying to break a hip.
He does. So they've got Saquon Barkley. He only averages, though, 4.5 yards a carry. I'm not as worried about him.
No. And here's what I'm not worried about him. He almost specifically runs up the middle or to the left. Now, to the left might be an issue because JPP, while he's good at pass rushing, he's not good at containment. He's not good at the run stuff. But that's the side where Carlton Davis plays on. He's probably one of our better tackling cornerbacks.
Oh, cool.
Grimes is on the other side.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. But, yeah, the Giants only have those three players. They got Eli, they've got OBJ, and they've got Saquon Barkley. Those are like their whole offense, their complete offense. Every now and then he'll throw it to their tight end, Ingram. Mm-hmm. He'll throw one to Shepard and he'll throw one to Fowler, but that's it. The rest of it goes to OBJ and Barkley.
And they'll take some shots too.
Yeah, yeah. He'll throw it. When Eli gets flustered back there or he's getting pressured, he throws it to OBJ. It doesn't matter if he's covered or not. I'm serious. He just throws it to OBJ and he looks for him constantly. That's his number one target. Swear to God, guy must get 12 targets a game.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, Barkley gets thrown to a lot.
Right.
Yeah. If Eli checks down, he checks down to Barkley. If everybody's covered, Eli checks down to Barkley quick.
And that's similar to Drew Brees and Kamara, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a similar situation.
Right.
The reason I'm not worried about Saquon Barkley is because last week we went up against Adrian Peterson and held him to 68 yards. So right. I'm really not
right.
that concerned. We do pretty good. Even though teams, I think, throw on us primarily because our secondary is so bad, our pass defense is so bad. Mm-hmm. So I think our ranking as a rushing defense is a little bit misleading. Yeah. I still think that we're pretty decent against the run.
Yeah,
in spite of all that.
Especially up the middle. It's really hard to run against us up the middle.
And Adrian Peterson is, I think, one of the best that's ever been. And we held him to 68 yards.
Yeah, and he's having a great season.
I'm not even worried about Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. I was worried if he ran on the edges. Our edges are kind of weak for the running game. But, you know, he runs up the middle a lot. That's the majority of where his runs are at. We'll stuff that. He might have a couple of, you know, decent runs, 7, 12 yards, something like that. He might even pop off a 15, 20 yard or who knows. But it ain't going to be consistent. And that's what kills you in the run game. So, yeah, I'm not worried about him either.
Good. So OBJ, that's what we're worried about.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about him too much either.
Why?
Well, hopefully we'll keep playing like we've been playing and stick to him like glue and, you know, double cover him. You know, have a safety over top too constantly. You shut those two down, this team ain't, they'll be lucky to get 150 yards on us.
That's, I mean, and we held the Redskins at 286 total yards.
Yeah.
Total.
We just didn't score any points.
Yeah.
We just dominated them.
Well, JPP said with Eli, you have to get to him early.
Fluster him?
Yeah, get him flustered. And then they can't really come back.
Well, we just need to get to him, period. We haven't been getting to anybody.
Yeah.
Same thing with Cam Newton. You get to him early, fluster him, he stinks the game up.
And that's what happened during the Redskins-Giants game in week 9, is I think they sacked Eli like 7 times or something.
I could see.
They lost.
I could see us getting a lot of sacks. I said that last week, but I'm going to say it again this week. Alex Smith was just so good at getting the ball out fast, and we—I don't know, man. We have got to get our defensive line better. Be paying that much money for this defensive line and not getting but average production out of them at best. Come on, guys.
That's true. And McCoy said today they really need to start. They need to focus on takeaways. Someone mentioned to him how the.
Does McCoy saying that? Does he ever have any takeaways in his history of being here? I know he has no interceptions.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I don't
so
know
maybe
he's
saying to the rest of the defense, hey, everybody else. He's being a leader. JPP said the leaders have to step it up.
Who are the leaders?
I don't know.
Who are the leaders on our defense? I have no idea.
Yeah,
JPP's kind of a quiet guy. McCoy's not a leader. Levante David's a quiet guy. Quan Alexander supposedly was the fiery talker.
Yeah. But he wasn't performing on the field.
Yeah, he had half a good game and then got hurt.
Right.
I don't know. Brent Grimes is
absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean, he's a ghost on the field, and he rarely ever talks. I mean, he's one of the most quiet people on the planet.
His wife does all the talking for him.
Yeah, we know who wears the pants in that family for sure.
So Eli's ranked number 9 overall in yards and 22nd for touchdowns in the league.
Eli?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, this team is average, maybe a little bit below average. Their offense is 24th overall in yards per game. Their defense is ranked number 22. And they haven't won a home game all year.
Well, we're good at letting teams break records on us, so.
Maybe we'll bring those rankings up.
We're going to help y'all out, Giants. Get you moving up in the rankings.
Yeah. So the big story this week is that JPP is excited to return to the Giants.
I hope he does something because he was a ghost last week.
Yeah. Well, he said that he's excited to get to Eli.
Yeah, he's never been able to sack him. I
mean, right. Well, he said he has a couple times.
During practice.
Probably. But he had nothing bad to say about the Giants organization, which is funny because they traded him to the Bucs for a third-round pick. So.
Yeah.
But he couldn't really give any insider information because it's a new team, basically. They got that new coach this year after McAdoo last year, that disaster. So, and then Fitz has played at MetLife before when he was with the Jets. You know, the Jets and the Giants share that stadium.
Oh, okay.
So he's at least familiar with the field, and he talked about you have to know how the wind gusts on the field. That kind of helps. You can't really get a gauge from the flags.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. So, he'll be comfortable there.
Good. We can use all the help we can get.
I know. So...
Yeah, I feel like this game is very vital. If we lose this game, we're pretty much mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. Season will be over. Then we'll know a regime change is coming. We won't have this team again next year. It'll be a totally different team, new players in key positions, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, this game means a lot. If we come out and we win and we do it in convincing fashion, then we'll have some hope maybe for that. I mean, I was looking at the stats and stuff, and I'm not a big stats guy, but we have a 5% chance of going to the playoffs at this point. You know, if we come out and win next week or Sunday and kick their butts, then, you know, that'll just give the fans a little bit of hope. And plus, I want to watch entertaining football. The past few weeks have been bleh.
Yeah. Well, if we win out for the rest of the year, we could still finish 10-6.
And 10-6 might maybe get you in the playoffs this year. I don't know.
But I think more importantly, it gives you hope.
Yeah, yeah. We go 10-6, then we're going to keep this coaching staff for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, if we win out.
Well, I don't know. We've made some boneheaded decisions that way.
That's true.
We'll see. Speaking of playoff contention, so, you know, D-Jax has a huge history with the Giants because he was drafted by Philly, division rival. Then he went to the Redskins, division rival. Yeah. So he's played against them his entire career. And actually, he was talking about how Giants fans still hate him for his 2010 punt return, where I actually looked this up on YouTube. And it was week 15. Giants are in playoff contention. The game is tied. It's 31-31. They're punting the ball. There's 12 seconds left. The Giants punt the ball to the Eagles, and Deshaun runs it back for a 65-yard punt return, scores a touchdown, beats them, knocks them out of playoff contention.
Oh, man.
So he said they still hate him for that. And he was asked whether he was going to return punts, and he's like, yeah, I don't know. So someone else asked Dirk Koetter. I know. They asked Dirk Koetter, and Koetter said Deshaun always has a green light to do punt returns if he wants to.
Yeah, see, that's kind of weird to me there, too, you know, because Deshaun, we talked about this in our last podcast. He returned punts. He was very good at it. Yeah. And then he just stopped. And the coach is like, you know, it was kind of his decision, kind of my decision. You know, we don't really know and everything like that. I mean, you're the coach of the team. You put the best player on the field that you think is going to help you win the game.
Right.
And we need Deshaun Jackson back there returning punts.
I don't think Koetter values special teams.
Yeah, I kind of get that impression, too.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the Giants, we got to be careful. That guy... They're kicking punt returner. Anderson, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he busted off a few big runs.
Yeah, we got to be careful with
returns.
That. So our special teams have got to be on point. Gosh, I'd hate to get beat by special teams. Yeesh.
Yeah, because I think that is a weak point of ours.
Well, you know, we got Anger's a good punter. We just...
Well, he's not the only one on special teams. There's 10 other players.
But we got rid of all of our good special teams players for the past few years.
That's what I'm saying. Koetter doesn't value special teams.
Doesn't value special teams, yeah. Keith Tandy, man, he was great on special teams. Bernard Reedy. I mean, all these guys that were good at tackling and down on the ball, they're gone. I can't name anybody on special teams that's done good on kick and punt returns. You remember that? Remember that? Gosh, what year was it? The beautiful play, and I think it was Bernard Reedy. Stopped the ball. Somebody jumped into the end zone, threw the ball out. Bernard Reedy was on right on the goal line, reached out, grabbed the ball, and threw it behind him. And there was a picture of him. He was like a plank.
Yeah, I remember that.
I love that play. I think we ended up winning that game, too. You know, special teams can really boost up a team's morale. Another thing about the Giants, they blitz quite frequently on defense, so we got to be careful of that.
Donovan Smith.
Donovan. God.
Show up.
Just play every play, every down to the whistle.
Well, and then Jensen's questionable.
Oh, that is scary.
Yeah.
That is scary if he's questionable. We ain't got nobody behind him.
I know.
We would have to shift Ali Marpet over to center and throw in somebody to guard. We don't have anybody that's taking any snaps at center other than Ali Marpet.
Well, Evan Smith, right? I mean, he knows
on IR.
How to play. Right, I know, but yeah. Other than that.
Right, that's it.
He could have if he weren't injured.
Their defense is relatively weak up the middle on the run. I think Peyton Barber could pop off some pretty decent runs up the middle. If Jensen's not playing, though, that could be quite a problem. O.J. Howard should have a good game, I think. I think, they've got a pretty decent secondary, the Giants do, but their linebackers are not very good, and O.J. Howard, they're just going to blow them up if it comes down to it. They do a lot of play action and checks down to Barkley, so we got to be cognizant of that. Guys, don't fall for the play action.
You would think we'd be better at the play action. I haven't played against Carolina for so long.
Yeah.
Twice a year.
Yeah.
You would think that would have prepared us for dealing with it.
You would think, but we have always just not been very good at any type of tricky plays the offense call. We fall for them all the time. Bootlegs, play actions, options. We just, our defenses over the past, 5 years or so have just been straight up vanilla. If your offense doesn't run straight up vanilla on us, then you're probably going to whoop our butts. So anyhow, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen Sunday?
I think the final score will be 3-2.
Who's going to score the two?
Oh, gosh. No, I think we're going to win. I think the score isn't going to be as high. I think we really overshot last week.
Well, yeah, apparently. But we wouldn't have if they would have scored the 300 times they went into the red zone.
And we had 500 yards on offense. So I think I'm going to say 21 Bucks. 13 Giants.
All right. 21-13. You heard it here first. I'm going big. I'm not giving up on this team yet. I know last week I was despondent after that game, and I said that's it. But there's still a chance, and I want to see them play, and I want to see them play hard. If they don't this game, that's it. You know. So I think they all know that. Everybody knows that, you know, this is their job on the line. Every single player out there knows that, from the quarterback to the we don't have anybody that's safe on this team. Maybe Mike Evans. Maybe. He could be great trade bait, though.
Yeah, for sure.
But we don't know. We don't know. So anyhow, everybody knows that their job's on the line. And if they come out and they play flat, then that's it. So I think they're going to come out. I'm hoping they're going to come out and play hard. And I hope we give the Giants a good beatdown, because I don't really think they're that great of a team. I think they're definitely beatable. So
I'm still a little bitter about the whole kneel down thing with the Giants.
Yeah.
I don't like them. That just left a bad taste in my mouth. And plus, Eli looks dumb like all the time. I'm tweeting a meme of him tomorrow because there's so many. I've already been looking at the memes of Eli, and there's like too many to choose from.
Eli face.
Yeah, I got about 20 saved on my phone. So maybe just the whole game, I'll just tweet Eli memes.
We were just wondering what degree Eli Manning got from the University of Mississippi. Molly said it was probably in sociology. I was thinking something a little less intellectual, basket weaving.
Macaroni art.
Macaroni art. But he actually got a degree in marketing. So
that's good, because he's got a lot of marketing material with all his memes.
Well, he's no Peyton Manning, that's for sure. Right. Peyton Manning could woo a microphone.
But doesn't Eli have more Super Bowls than Peyton?
Are they tied?
Eli's got two. Peyton, did he have one with Indy?
Yes.
And then he got one with Denver.
He's only got two? Peyton Manning only had two Super Bowl rings? Wow.
Yeah, he went to more Super Bowls, but he lost.
Now, see, I'm of the mind Peyton Manning was the greatest quarterback that's ever lived. He just from a pure quarterback thing, he was a field general like there's never been. The way he did all the tricky stuff before the ball was snapped and everything. I mean, they actually even changed the rules because of him. You know, the whole bobbing the head stuff. You know, quarterbacks aren't allowed to do that now. So I think, you know, as a pure field general, you couldn't get any better than Peyton Manning.
Well, a lot of good that does you when you have the same number of Super Bowl rings as your dumb little brother.
Eli, you dumb. You just dumb. Like, Molly is in here putting every guy down. You're short. You're dumb.
Short and dumb.
Old. All right. So that's what we got. We got Ralph is saying the Bucks are going to win. Oh, I never did say what my
I know,
prediction
I interrupted
would be.
You.
38-24 Bucks.
All right.
That's what I'm going.
All
and,
right.
And Eli's going to only score 24 points because they're going to be down in the fourth quarter and he's just going to start lobbing it up to OBJ.
Slinging it.
Yeah. And OBJ will probably do a couple of those freaky one-hand grab things.
Oh, let me say that I'm a little concerned about the Giants' defense because the two games that we watched, they seemed to be after the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they were very aware.
They swarmed the ball and they tackled pretty decent.
Yeah. So I'm a little worried about turnovers.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah, they stick tight to their man on coverage. Their secondary is pretty decent. So We'll see. All right. So Ralph is saying Bucks 38-24. Molly's going Bucks 21-13. We're both still fans. We're both got our rose colored glasses on.
Pewter and red
colored glasses. So we're hoping for a good entertaining game tomorrow where we have Buck players that show up and fight, play through the whistle, and that we win the game. So with all that being said,
go Bucks.